Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. The plan of salvation has always been and will always be a heart matter. We could try to strong arm or make people serve the Lord, but it wouldn't do any good. This is about the heart, the place and the place inside us where that seed of affection, the ability to make a choice, and the choices we make by our heart, what's in our heart. That's what the Lord really come to deal with us about. We give information, we preach, we edify, we give the will of God so that we can understand it, but we can't make anybody do it. And to try to make someone do it would be counterproductive, because the Lord wants us to want to do it. He come to give us a right heart, so that out of our hearts would come the right things. In the beginning, God made man upright. He made him in his own image. I believe he was pure in his thoughts and in his deeds. But after sin came in, man took on a self-will. He took on a selfish nature that we all are born with. We're all born with it. And the Lord wants to be able to do something about it. He come to do something about it. He wants to change our hearts. I asked this question then. I believe that's true. I don't think there would be any arguments about it. Then why isn't everybody's hearts changed? Well, there must be another element in the idea of what his will is definitely to change bad hearts into good hearts. I think God wants us to be kind to our fellow man. I think he wants us to love one another. He wants us to have all these different parts of us, but then why isn't everybody that way? There must be a part that we play then. Obviously, there's a part that we play. Man's heart has been damaged by sin. And in that, the scripture says, it's deceitful above all and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Or who would be willing to know it? Who could say, I'm that way? But the Lord wants to help us. I've told these stories many times, but I want to tell them again to kind of set the burden that I have. I several years ago, I'd been praying, Lord, I want to be a better witness. I want to be able to help people. I want to do what you do. It's kind of the work that we do. I want to be able to touch people's lives. That kind of prayer. I'd been praying it for a while. And one late night, I pulled in. We was traveling somewhere. I think all the family was asleep. But we pulled into a convenience store, where I got gas, whatever. I went into the store. And when I got in there, there was a young woman. I run into this young woman, and this young woman was a sight. She had tattoos and piercings. Her face was a funny color. I don't even know how she did it, but she had a funny garb on, and she had purplish hair. And I can remember thinking when I saw that, I was repulsed. Why would somebody do this? And I had a certain disdain towards that. And as I left out of there, the Lord reproved me over that. I had been asking the Lord about being able to contact people and care for people. As I went out there, the Lord reproves me for the heart that I had. I had the wrong heart about that. And the Lord reproved me of that and he brought to me. Why do you think she's that way? Well, only God can know something like that. But I'll take it from the Lord. Why do you think she's that way? Well, Lord, I don't know. Why would somebody be like that? Why would somebody pierce their nose through and hang a chain from it to the ear? I mean, studs in it. Why would somebody look abusive to themselves? Why would somebody do that? You know what the Lord told me about that? He brought something that I'd heard several years before. It was the definition of wicked. And the brother said that, have you ever seen a wicked basket? A wicker basket. It means that it's woven or twisted. And that's what wicked is. It's twisted. It's been woven. Something's happened to humanity. Sin has wickered us. It's twisted us all up. This young girl was only wicked because she was twisted. But the Lord brought to me is she only wants to be loved. This is a statement of that. It looked awful to me. But she only wanted love. A wicked heart. A heart that's twisted, trying to find some. We look at the people and what they do in life, and we have to ask ourselves the question, why would anybody do that? Why does people act? Why do they act like they do? Why would a man abuse his wife? Why would he beat his wife? Why would they do all those things? When we get right down to the bottom of it, do you know they're not all that far off? They're just wicked. The man only wants to be important and respected, but it comes out in a domineering way that he's not. But underneath, he's only, you know, everybody inside, I'll be willing to say almost everybody inside is either a little boy or she's a little girl. Someplace in there, there is something in there that isn't what we're showing everybody that it is. And Lord, help us to have the right heart. Because God wants to make and do something for us in our heart. He doesn't want us to be twisted and wicked with life. He wants us to be functional. He wants us to be happy and fulfilled. And God is what wants to work with our hearts. He does not come in and dominate that. He wants us to choose Him in the changing of our hearts. Lord, change my heart. I want to challenge everyone here tonight to consider your own heart. Do you have bitterness in there? You know, or do you have any hypocrisy? Is there any hypocrisy in your heart? You know, it is fairly likely that a group like ours, it's very common that there's hypocrisy. The very nature of the way we live will bring hypocrisy. I'll say it this way. You're living for the Lord. We have strong beliefs about things. And they're right to believe. But as soon as we start getting away from the Lord, it's not hard for us to become hypocrites. Because we do believe things very strongly. And when we get beyond, when we get away from that, it's not hard to have hypocrisy among us, because there's people out there that don't believe in living in anything. Everything's okay. It's hard to be a hypocrite when just you can do anything. But to somebody that has a real belief in something, you know, you can get the hypocrisy pretty easy. But do we have that in our lives? Lord, help us. He wants to correct our hearts. I want to challenge us tonight to think about my heart. And is it right before the Lord? Is the Lord looking in and approving? It doesn't have to be approved by me, but is the Lord approving of me? Is my heart right? Have I taken care of the forgivenesses that the brother said? Have I taken care of those things? Have I allowed the Lord to give me the grace against these bitternesses? If you've lived very long, you've been attacked. Have I taken care of those things? Now, years ago, I told this many times, but I had my little girl, my oldest daughter, was a little girl. And I come home from work one day, and her mother says to me, she's been waiting for you to come home. Her balloon popped. She had a balloon. And she said, she told her mother, it's okay. Daddy will fix it when he gets home. Now, I want to tell you, I thought it when they told me that, because I had been pretty successful in putting the head back on the dolls or an arm or wiring up a toy or taping it or doing something or melting it back with some, doing something to fix her toys. And all of a sudden she says, now she has some real confidence in me. Daddy will fix that balloon when he gets home. And you know, I run into my limitations. I run into something that I couldn't do. I never come up with a way to fix a balloon. I couldn't glue it, weld it, tape it, wire it. There was nothing I could do to fix my daughter's balloon. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you will run into your limitations. But I can fix the broken hearts. I can fix the broken places. I can put the pieces back together again. God has a way of being able to fix our broken places. And He can fix our hearts. He died to fix our hearts. He wants us to have the right kind of heart. And He died to be able to do it. I want to look at a scripture. Oh, let's start with the 26th chapter of Matthew. Oh, I'm going to pick it up. Maybe the 15th verse. And said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him to you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Now, I want to tell you, that is an amazing scripture to me. That here sat these men. One of them knew who it was. But the other men sat there, and you would have thought they would have said, it's not me. I know myself well enough to know that it's not me. So it must be somebody else. But they didn't do that. Why didn't they do that? Aren't we capable of knowing who we are? Aren't we capable to know how we feel about things? And whether I would do such a thing or not? Aren't we capable of such a thing? But these men said, they ask with a desire to know. That's an awful thing. It's sorrowful that someone is going to betray the Lord. But is it me? Is it possible? Is it possible that it could be me? Is it possible that I don't know myself well enough that through some temptation or a persecution or some way that I would betray the Lord? Is it possible to do that? Can you say positively tonight that you won't do something or do something? You know, we think sometimes that we know ourselves so well. But I'm going to tell you tonight, we are desperate. If we're going to want to go to heaven, we're desperate to stay in contact with the Lord. We're desperate for it. I've been around the ways of the Lord for quite a while now, and I'm going to tell you, that I've seen my own temptation in my own life, my own inadequacies. I've seen my own, as Brother Dan said, I've seen places that I thought I was so right. before the Lord come and reproved me, before the Lord corrected me in my path. I've also seen people that I thought was so strong. They were so steady. They prayed such a prayer. They preached such a good message. They went away from the Lord and don't even claim anything anymore. It's true. Then what hope do we have in a case like that? But we do have hope. But it's not in ourselves. But we ought to consider our own hearts. We ought to seek for our own hearts. Do I have it right in my heart? I'm not saying I believe that we can know that we're saved. I believe that we can know that the Lord is with me and blessing me. But I also think that we've got to stay close to the Lord, or we don't know what we're going to do. And these disciples seem so pitiful here, but yet it speaks something to my heart that they wasn't so confident in their humanity that they could say positively that they knew what they was going to do. And you know, I think there's an attitude in this that we desperately need. We desperately need an attitude that I am needy before the Lord. I have a needy heart before the Lord. Things may be going well, but I have a needy heart before the Lord. I know that any moment life can change for me. I know that any time my physical health can start giving way on me. I've seen what a day has made in a difference of people's lives before. I've seen how much difference the things have changed in people's lives. They've went into deep depression. You ever know anybody that's going on and then been in depression? Of course we all have seen those kind of places. I felt those kind of places in my own life. And I'll tell you what. It says to me, I need the Lord. I need a heart. I need a heart that I recognize. I need the Lord. That I am humble enough to say, I need the Lord. I am not self-sufficient. You're not self-sufficient tonight. There needs to be a heart of, Lord, we need you all the time. We need you today. We need to wake up with a heart that needs God. Because we can't do this by ourselves. These men didn't even know. I think they was being truthful. They didn't know that they wasn't the one. What if the old devil comes and rows on me? Could I be the one? Could I be the one that would do that? You remember how Peter approached some of it? Lord, I will never. You're gonna deny me. I will never deny you. Peter, you're gonna deny me. I will never deny you. Oh, Peter, you're going to deny me. And you don't even know that it's possible. He should have said, Lord, help me. My heart's in need. The influences can change me so easily. Help me, Lord, to be faithful. And help me always stand with this prayer. And this attitude of heart. I need God. We need the Lord. We have no place that we can raise up in our hearts and think that we've arrived, that we've done it, that we're in the place. Because we're always standing in need of the Lord. We have need of Him to keep my mind. I'm telling you, maybe you all have such a stronger fortitude than me. But you know, there's times that I really think there's a very fine line between sanity and insanity. Has anybody else ever went down that between that line? It seems like, the pressures of life. There's times I'm going along and I don't know how to explain these things, folks, other than humanity. And if I'm, maybe you don't have these problems, but I have. I went along and be so encouraged. Then all of a sudden my wife can see something and say, honey, are you all right? What's wrong? I don't know. Something's happened. I don't know. I'm just feeling depressed. I feel discouraged. Well, I wasn't 15 minutes ago, but now something has touched me, and something may, I'm human, and something gave me a sense of worry or dread or fear or something. And folks, I need the Lord. I run to him, and the times, oh, I can tell you the times that I got there, is, what am I going to do? This is awful in an awful way. And I went, and I'm going to testify to you, I have never been disappointed by pouring my heart out to the Lord. Never. To just go and pour my heart out to the Lord and just seek the Lord, and the Lord blesses. And I've walked away from there so much different than I got down. Because the Lord's what we need, folks. Yeah. He wants to be the influence of our heart. It's our heart. I want to tell you something. If you feel like that you ought to not to forsake the assembling of yourself, I can give you scriptures that you shouldn't. The believers ought to gather together and worship. We oughtn't forsake the assembling of ourselves. That can be just worth. But if you're not feeling, if you don't have that in your heart, I'm going to tell you, it can be miserable to do something that's not in your heart. Oh, I'm just going to go because I'm supposed to. When I get the feeling like that, I go. But when I get the feeling like that, I start asking the Lord. Lord, my heart needs help. Because I'm going, but I'm not rejoicing. I'm going, but I'm not enthused about it. I'm going, but I'm putting nothing into it. I'm getting nothing from it. Help. Lord, help me. Yes. There's something wrong with my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I remember when I was first saved. And the burning, the longing to go to service, the longing to hear the saints sing, the longing to hear the word. You know what? I keep asking the Lord. Lord, don't let it die. Don't let it die. I want to go feeling. I want that in my heart. Sometimes I've had the children say before, we have to go to service. My answer is always, no, we get to. We get to go serve the Lord. It's a privilege and we want it in our heart. I can't teach my children to have it in their heart. I can teach them to do it. I can teach them the value of it. But at some point, they're going to have to feel a need in their heart and in their soul that drives them to say, Lord, I want this in my heart too. Is it me, Lord, that could possibly do something so hideous? There's been others that done it. Lord, help me. Protect me in my heart. Because in my heart, do you know if my heart is really right towards you, I won't slur you. I won't talk behind your back. I won't try to run you down. I'm going to ask a simple question. Do you have the goodwill towards all men in your heart? Well, it's a valid question. Because God wants us. Now, I know there's things happening and all this, and you don't know what to do sometimes, and should I do this or should I do this? But do you have their goodwill in your heart? Do you know jealousy's a thief? The old jealousy's a thief, and it lodges in the heart. Now, what did Jesus say to the man that came and said, deal with my brother and have him split the inheritance? Jesus didn't. He said, who's made me a divider among you? But what, Jesus didn't even go there. He said, beware of covetousness because you got something in your heart. I'm going to deal with your heart because you won't care if you get your heart right. You're going to get your heart right. You don't get your heart right, none of it's going to work for you anyway. You got to get your heart right. Why should we have ill will? Why shouldn't we want everybody around us to have a finer house than we do? Answer it for yourself. Why would I have a problem if one of my brothers buys a brand new vehicle? He's got a big new vehicle. Why would I care? Unless I got something wrong with my heart. Because if my heart's right, I'm going to say, Lord, bless them. Bless my brother. Bless them. Give them good. I want to tell this to the glory of God. I knew a man that wanted his heart right. And he wanted it so badly that he would do anything he had to do to get his heart right. And it was Brother Jim White. He wanted to have a right heart. And he dealt with himself about it all the time. He came to me one time shortly after I was ministering. And he said, I want to talk to you. I said, okay. He was such an inspiration to me. I had such a high a degree of confidence in this man. And he comes to me and he says, I want to talk to you. He said, I want to ask your forgiveness. I thought, I shouldn't have thought he was joking because he didn't, but he come to me, well, what would he have? I have such an admiration for this man. He said, I want to ask your forgiveness. And I said, for what? And he said, I've been having thoughts of jealousy because the Lord has been blessing you. I was stunned. And he said, I don't want that. Yes, amen. He felt like he violated me in his heart because he had an ill will that come up. And he wanted his heart right till he come to me, and my admiration for him grew higher. The man wanted his heart right. And he looked and said, I can't be that way to my brother. Lord bless him. And he come and done that. And he got victory over that. And he testified to that victory. He wanted his heart right. When he come down to the end of his life, he called me and said, I want to talk to you. I went there and he told me, he said that one time he had said something like to somebody or something. And he got to talking and he said, if he had a chance, he'd like to make it right. But he couldn't. The people wasn't there. But he had that in his heart. And I said, well, Brother Jim, when did that happen? And he said, about 45, I don't remember exactly the date, but it was like 45 years ago. And I said, 45 years ago. And he told me, he said, I needed somebody to be responsible to. I needed somebody to hear me say this. I want it right in my heart. Yes. He was doing everything he could to have the right heart about it. You know, God wants us to have the right heart about it. And to say, Lord, I'm needy here. I don't want to betray you. I don't want to betray you. Lord, help us. We need to have the right heart. We can pretend and be religious. We can try to wear the right stuff. We can try to do the right thing. I mean, in people's eyes, we can have a form and do all those things. But if we don't have our heart right, all of those things are useless. They don't amount to nothing. And the Lord wants us to get it right in our heart. We got to give him that heart. Lord, help us to have this grace of neediness. That I need the Lord to help me in my heart all the time. I'm going to read another scripture to you that I think is such a challenge. And the reason I'm challenged with this scripture is because I have been living for the Lord about 30 years now. And it's been quite a ride. There's been some ups and there's been some downs and there's been some things the Lord has done and the Lord has blessed and this scripture it touches to that. It's in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 12th verse. I'll let it stand by itself. It says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Have mercy of God. What this is referring to isn't some pompous greenhorn that just come along and thinks he'll never fall. The idea of this scripture is that people that have been put through the test, they've had events in their life and they've proven themselves true. This is a warning to us about the attitude of heart that I'm talking about. There is no place in the Christian race that we can't fall if we don't have the Lord. It isn't meant because I can say, I can look back on 30 years of the Lord's blessings on my life. I can tell you from where the Lord has given me great spiritual gain. I can show you places where the Lord did miraculous things for me and my family. I can stand on those things, and well, I should. It's my experience that the Lord give me. It's things that I can say, the Lord has been faithful to me. And if he's faithful before, he'll be faithful again. But you know, I can mount them all up to the place that I can say, I'm spiritual. And I can look and depend on a mountain of days and life that I've lived, and the Lord has helped me through them all. But do you know that if I don't have a heart of need before the Lord, that I need the Lord today. I need the Lord today, brother. I need him today to be successful. I need him today to help me with my tongue. I need the Lord today to keep the flesh down. I need the Lord today to keep jealousy out of my heart. I need the Lord today. I need an ever-living presence of God in my heart. And without that, the years that I've mounted up will not hold me from falling. It won't hold me. I need a heart of a neediness in my heart. Lord, I need you to help me through these things in my life. I need you just as much today as I've ever needed you. I find as I get older, I'm going to need the Lord more and more. As this world becomes more and more wicked, I'm going to need the Lord more and more in my life. I don't feel like I've got there. I feel like I'm more needy than ever. Lord, if you don't help me, I'm not going to make it. I need the Lord. I've seen him work. I've got a confidence in God. I have a mountain of experience in a sense that I've seen God work. I've seen the Lord bless. I've seen those things. That ain't going to hold me for tomorrow. It ain't going to hold me for today. And he gives a very solemn warning for those that think that they stand. You think that you've been there long enough and you know something. Can I tell you something? Knowledge is good. It's good to have understanding. But there's been plenty of people with understanding that lost their souls. Being knowledgeable doesn't make it happen. It's a condition of the heart towards God. Lord, I need you. We ought to always be before the Lord, a needy congregation. That isn't to say we're not rejoicing, that it isn't an opposite. It's actually very much together. We can rejoice and all at the same time. We're in need. Yes. We're always in need. I want to tell you something about need. It's a great place to be in. None of us want to, but it's a great place to be in. I had a sister tell me one time she had just gotten saved and things had been rough for her, and she come to my house and she was crying, and she told me, weeping, she said, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. Said, I don't have a home. I don't have any. Said, I don't have anything but the Lord. Said, I wish we all was there. At least to be able to stay. I don't have anything but the Lord. I need the Lord. None of this else is going to do it. I appreciate the saints. I appreciate all they're trying to do. I remember one time in my life that things had got to a certain point, and I appreciated everything the saints tried to do. And you were loving and you were caring and supportive. But you know, there was a place that you couldn't go. I know you would have went there if you could have went. But there was a place that you couldn't go. There was a place needed touch that nobody could touch. And as I stood and wondered what the future would be for me and weeping and looking to the Lord, I told the Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the end of the rope. I'm at the end of the rope. I don't know. Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to perish. That's the way I felt. Lord, I'm going to perish. If you don't help me, I'm at the end of the rope. I have no more rope. And you know the Lord, oh, I'll never forget it. Because it was like a literal opening of heaven to me. When I got to that point, I literally seen in my mind's eyes just a fingernail's hold on the end of this big long rope. And the Lord just seemed to pour heaven out over me. I felt it all over. The glory of the Lord came down on me. And you know, he didn't change the circumstances, but he changed my heart. Yes. He changed it from discouragement, from depression, from oppression, from fear, from all that. And he changed my heart.
Yes.
He changed my heart to a place of hope, filled with grace. I understood, Lord, I know I'm going to make it through now.
Thank the Lord.
I know I'm going to make it through because he touched my heart. Do you know that sometimes it's hard to love somebody? Things can happen sometimes, and it's hard to love somebody. There's people that don't always do you right or understand you, and sometimes they hurt you, and sometimes they're in the closest relationships of life. Sometimes they're in marriages or their daughters and mothers. Sometimes it's in the closest places of life. It becomes a great struggle to go through that. You know, God's got an answer to that. He can touch your heart. Now, I've told this a number of times, but a few years ago, I had a guy get so mad at me. I never met him before. He got mad at me over an instant, and he attacked me. He put a gun up to my head and was gritting his teeth, saying he's going to blow my head off. He hit me with the end of the barrel, knocked me over in the seat of my truck. He started hitting me with his fist. He done all these things. You know, the Lord blessed me so much while that was going on. He really did. The guy tried his best to hurt me, and he could not hurt me. It didn't hurt me. It didn't hurt me. It was nothing. He tried to even pull me out of the truck. He jerked and pulled and was going to pull me out of the truck. He couldn't move me off the seat. He couldn't even move me. I just sat there. He couldn't even move me. The Lord just blessed me so much, and I didn't hate. I didn't fight. I prayed, and the Lord blessed. And that would have been a great testimony. That ain't all the testimony, though. After that, I started feeling violated. After that, I started feeling like I was done unjustly. After that, the devil started whispering in my ear about what you could have done is, or what you should have done, or what you do next time, or all this. And you know, after a while, I was in a battle. I was in a battle. In my heart. My heart. Now, what am I going to do with this place in my heart that I've got feelings about this situation and this guy? I really needed the Lord. I really, really needed the Lord. Because see, there's something you have to understand. The only person that was getting miserable over it was me. Now, I may have been even tempted a little bit more if my misery would have run over on him. But he didn't know it. He wasn't feeling it. All the misery was in my own heart as I struggled with that feeling of hatred. But I'm going to tell you, God's got such a wonderful grace for us. And he come to deal with our hearts. Now, I could go on trying to do what I do. I could go on praying. I could go on living life and have that in my life. But I don't have to. You know, I prayed until I can say to this day, I have nothing but goodwill.
Yes.
I hope the man is blessed. I love to see him saved. He's still not friendly with me either. He's still pretty. But I'm going to say this. I love to see him get saved. And if he never gets saved, I hope he has a pleasant life here. I hope he's blessed. I have that in my heart. But it don't come easy. I've got to give it. to the Lord. I can't do that myself. I can't take care of those things myself. But the Lord wants me to do it. And that's why after all the years, this is no credentials. I'm just saying I've been full-time minister for 20 years. This November will be 21. Was it possible to do all that and lose your soul? Is it possible to do that and hate someone? Well, yes, it is, and it's why the disciples said, Lord, is it I? I don't know if they knew how immediate this was. Is there a possibility that life could get me to the place that I do that? What made Judas a thief? I don't know, something did. But could it be me? Lord, help me. I don't want it to be me. I need the Lord, and you need the Lord. The world needs the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you think the real answers is in this political race, the real answers to our life isn't in the political world. It's in God changing our hearts and keeping our hearts as we live for Him. There's another scripture in 2 Peter, the first chapter. Oh, this is such a good scripture. I'll read some of it. And fifth verse. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Now, that's not indifference. That giving diligence has a real oomph to it. That means to put some effort into this thing. Get some effort involved in this. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Give diligence to these things. The diligence is here to make sure that we're in that state of humility and need before the Lord. Always realizing, one, I'm going to tell you, the first thing that happens in people's lives, it isn't that all of a sudden a guy runs off with another woman. That ain't his first problem. I don't believe that he's saved and sanctified, living for the Lord one day and the next day he takes off. Don't believe it. I don't believe that he starts cussing and drinking and one day he's saved and sanctified and satisfied and raises his hand and hallelujah. And the next day he's a drunkard. It didn't work that way. I'm going to tell you how it does work. He starts not feeling like he don't need the Lord. He don't need the Lord on a daily basis. I had someone say to me one time, and when they did, I cringed. They said they was going to do something. They was going to go do something. I said, boy, there's a warning in that. They shouldn't be doing that. And their comeback was, well, I guess I've been saved long enough that I could handle something like that. And as soon as I heard it, I cringed. Oh, no, you haven't been either. And neither have I. It ain't because you've been saved long enough. It's because I got the Lord with me. We need the Lord. Make our calling and election sure. We're going to have to make sure on a daily basis that I got the Lord in my heart. I'm going to tell you something about this heart. When I start losing the influence of the Lord in my heart, this old heart's going to start changing back to the old way it was. It's going to start reverting back. It's going to start taking attitudes. It's going to start taking positions. And I'm going and saying I'm just saved as ever. And I've seen people do it. I'm just saved as I ever was. Or a lot of times they start going that way and say, I'm happier than ever. I'm happier than ever. I'm more spiritual than I've ever been. Okay. All right. But you better get with the Lord. Yes. You better make your calling and election sure. And that has to do with a daily walk with the Lord. Yes. And feeling the need that I have in my life. There's another Scripture I just want to get in closing. It's in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Seventh verse, for all nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to keep us on fire, to keep us desirous, to keep us still wanting the good things. You ever get bored? My children use that term. You ever get bored? I'm going to warn you against boredom. Boredom's dangerous. There is a remedy to that, though. There is a place in our hearts. Lord, help us in our hearts. Oh, I may want to do something maybe in life, get an old cold day or the winter's long up there at home. I might want to get cabin fever a little bit. But I want my heart to be right. I want to have it in my heart that I'm not wanting what the world has. I had enough of that when I was in the world. And when the Lord come along and gave me such a blessing, I want to keep that. He says that the love of many will wax cold. Then he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This is a heart matter. I was impressed by the disciples that said, is it I? Peter didn't say, is it John? John didn't say, is it Andrew? Is it James? Is it Thomas? Every one of them said, Lord, is it I? You know, that's the way we ought to approach services. That's the way we ought to approach difficulties. That's the way we ought to approach life. That's the way we ought to approach disturbances and rumbles in the congregations. Yes. We ought to always say, Lord, is it me?
Yes.
Or is that going to get a reaction out of me? You know what I'm saying? Oh, devil wants to get a reaction out of you. Lord, as this comes my way. Lord, help me in my heart that I can be a resistance and a help to those other ones, not spreading it and flaming it and getting it going. But is my heart right to settle it, to calm it, to be the peacemaker in it, to say, let's pray. Maybe it's directed right at me, but can I have the right heart? Then I'll say, I want to have it right in my heart. That I don't have bitterness towards that one that's coming to me. That I might be the catalyst to win the souls around me. Help me in my heart. Did Jesus not do that for us and show us that example? They crucified him and he didn't blame them. He didn't run them down. He said, Father, forgive them. He gave us an example of having it right in our hearts. You know, sometimes you got to do some tough things and make some tough stands. For righteousness, you got to stand square up sometimes. You do. You have to stand for the truth. Stephen stood for it. Got stoned to death for it. But then he turned and said, don't lay it to their charge. You mean he really wanted these people that killed him and treated him that way to do well? Yeah, he did. He wanted them to succeed because he had it right in his heart. Lord, help us not to be a pretense, a make-believe, or a hypocrite. But help us to really have it in our hearts. A fervent love one for another. A desire for right. I don't understand it all. Don't claim to. But I want a heart for it. Lord, give me a heart for the righteous things. Give me a heart. Is our heart shunning evil? You know, a good heart shuns evil. I don't want evil things. I don't want to set wicked things before my eyes. I don't want that. My heart says no. And my heart says yes to all the... I want good things in my life. I want a good heart. I need the Lord tonight. I've done well today. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord I'm saved. I need the Lord tomorrow. I'm going to need Him. I'm going to need Him for another day and another day. I'm going to need the Lord, and so aren't you. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.